This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
That's right, it's 6:30, so that means it's Tech Talks. Mitch is out this week, but I am here. My name is Grant. I'll be with you here up until 8 o'clock. Gonna have a couple articles really quick here, but I'll try and keep it brief because I know it's not quite as entertaining without the banter. So they actually just achieved a new high score, so to say, in the efficiency of solar panels. And again, I feel like we achieve this every couple months, but sometimes it doesn't actually quite pan out, I guess you could say, in the large scale tests. And this is something that is deceptive about the nature of solar panels, is that oftentimes in very small scale experiments, they work substantially better than they do in a full trial or as they would on your roof, because the conditions are a lot more controlled and they're usually built with a much, much higher quality. That said, 34.5% is astoundingly high for conversion on solar energy. I mean, we're talking about like almost on the scale of what a natural plant does, which is pretty impressive given the silicon, given that it's on silicon and that it's been made by people and that it's not the product of, this natural biological process. So 53% is as high as we could theoretically ever achieve. And so to be well over halfway there is impressively amazing. In fact, it's a little bit, again, that 34, you could be conservative and call it 30% out on the market, but even then, that 30% is close to double of what a lot of the market stands at right now, at about 18%. So it's been, they're looking through the results, they're working to peer review the research, and the Australian team from New South Wales hopes that their small junction, that's what they call it junction solar cells, will help us move forward in energy production. Another article we got coming up here, more out of entertainment. I might keep this for next week, but I'll go ahead and give you a teaser on it. Google's self-driving cars, realistically speaking, although they've shown to be better than a person driving so far, we know that they aren't perfect, and they're not going to be perfect. That's just a property of life. That said, Google has received a patent for a very interesting solution for minimizing the injuries that could occur during a head-on collision. And that is that these self-driving cars will have adhesive paint on the exterior of them, so that if they hit someone or collide with something, the idea is that if it's small enough, it would kind of stick to it and keep with the momentum. Because the dangerous part of being struck as a pedestrian by an automobile is not the initial impact, but the events that unfold afterwards. If you roll off to the side, or if you go over, or if you go under the car, you're going to have to do one of those things. Nobody gets hit by a car and then just magically sticks to the hood as the car continues forward, because the car, the mass of a car much, much outpaces the strength and the weight of you. So the idea is that if the car has adhesive paint, specifically an adhesive layer positioned over the hood, is how Google describes it, then in the case of a collision, it would provide an area of impact, and it would allow the person that where they hit, it would give them the space to kind of receive the momentum more gradually, I guess you could put it. I mean, regardless, you're still getting hit by a car, but the idea that you could hit and not roll under or get thrown over the top of it, but instead kind of bounce and stick with the momentum, tends to be a lot safer. So that is a patent that they have filed for, and I believe have actually received. I couldn't find the actual patent itself, but certainly is interesting. So it's just kind of funny to me that, and again, I think a lot of this is a property of the paranoia that comes with a self-driving car, is that people are concerned that these cars are going to be dangerous, so we need to go out of our way to make them safer than a normal pedestrian car. Which I guess my question is, if we're going to put adhesive paint and say that it's safer, these adhesive sticky pads, like fly traps, on an automated car, then why not put them on a standard car as well, if they're safer? I mean, I don't know. I think it's interesting. I think we'll come to see what actually has advantages in the long term. I guess I can see in theory where this works, but in practice, I'm not quite so convinced that it would be so effective. But it certainly is entertaining, nonetheless. All right, well, that's about all I have for right now. So we're going to swing back around in a little bit. Going to have some more tech talks coming up into the end of this hour and well into the second hour. But I'm going to take a little break and come back here in just a bit. Be sure to keep it tuned all the way to the left here at WRFL Lexington, your only alternative left here on the far left side of the dial at the very beginning of the FM frequencies. I'll see you here in a little bit. But first, I was going to take a break, take a moment, and talk some tech. Again, Mitch is not here, but I'm going to take a moment and kind of go rather quickly through these because I don't have a whole lot to say that I don't think would be as interesting without the commentary. I like the balance that he brings to this. Apple has unveiled their new retail store. It's in downtown San Francisco, and it's across from Union Square Park, and it is pretty spectacular. It's two floors, of which they share a balcony and a set of windows that are two stories tall. They're 42-foot glass windows. It's got a 6K video screen and an indoor and outdoor park. So the indoor park is actually basically the Genius Bar at which you can sit around next to, I'm talking about like full size, 15-foot tall trees. And the outdoor space, they think of it as more of a park. And it's meant to be open all the time, and it has free Wi-Fi, and it has a walled garden, so to speak. And it's just interesting to see Apple continue to try to reinvent themselves into something that is more and more and more a bridging of nature and these very, very modern elements. And I'm sure we'll see more of that as we move forward. They'll only get more as such, where they continue to pull together their technology and the style. And it is interesting that they've brought in so much of nature, specifically recently. I think it's trying to find their way with that. But I'm interested to see if this is a one-off store or if this is kind of their new template. Either way, it should be interesting. And it certainly looks like an interesting place. From the outside, it's got this kind of monolithic view, a bit in the way that it's rectangular. It's very, almost kind of postmodern in that way. And then it's got this large bank of windows on one side. It's very nice looking. I will give them that. It looks incredibly nice. So I'm sure they'll be holding all kinds of functions there and doing all sorts of interesting things in the future. But as always, Apple continues to be Apple. This week was Google's I/O conference. And so one of the big things that people have been chasing after for a long time, but nobody thought was actually going to happen, was the pure and true combination of Android and the Chrome operating system. So if you have a Chromebook, it's running the Chrome operating system, which is meant to be kind of a watered down Linux-ish, mostly web-based interface. And the idea has been for a while that a handful of companies were able to create apps, and in some ways you were able to run modified versions of apps that could run on your phone. But they're actually going to be bringing these together entirely into one operating system so that people who write code for mobile apps for your phone or your tablet can now also write them for your television if you have a Chrome stick or if you have a Nexus. They'll also be able to write it for your laptop or your desktop as well if it's running the Chrome operating system. So it is interesting to see this bridge, this merger of all of these parts. And bringing these together is going to be interesting. It's going to be a delicate process. And so I'm interested to see how they go about that. But both of these articles that I just talked about, I'm going to link through to them over onto our Facebook page if you want to keep up with Mitch and I there. From week to week, even when we're not around, we do frequently post there. So you can keep up with us. That's WRFL Tech Talks if you want to find us over there. Other than that, you can keep up with what I've been playing on air. You can find that over at WRFL.FM. Other than that, I got a couple more tracks lined up, and I'll see you here in just a little bit.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.FM and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.FM/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.
Current time is 7:24, and you were tuned in here to Tech Talks. This is probably going to be my last segment of the night. Again, I'm trying to take my time and save most of these topics for next week when Mitch can join me. And we'll have plenty of time to really break out everything that happened at Google I/O this week. But I guess we can treat this as more of a teaser, perhaps, then, for everything that happened at I/O. So be sure to come back around next week, 6 to 8 on Thursdays, so we can really take the time to break it out then. Google has made their own chip, their own computer chips, not like the potato snack, but they have started developing their own line of computer chips, which should be a little intimidating for a lot of the other chip makers because Google has a name, has its name out there on a scope that I would say I'm not sure there's another company in the world that is so ingrained in the way that Google is, perhaps except for maybe Coca-Cola or the Disney Company. But those are just guesses on my part. But they're really doing something interesting here, and in moving into hardware, it really changes the game of what it means to be part of Google, of what it means to be part of Alphabet. Their goal for building their own chips? Why, of course, it would be to create AI, because what else? You think they're going to shoot for the ground on this one? They're really aiming high. Their goal is to create a full in-house hardware software solution that would be AI ready. And that is crazy, honestly. And the scope of which no one's ever attempted, but the idea that you could have your hardware and your software really in step working towards a common goal. If they can't do it, I don't know that anyone really could. So I'm interested to see where they go from here. But I think we'll just have to wait to see exactly how this plays out. It is interesting because a lot of the chip giants that are already out there, the names that you would know in hardware, are well established. And a lot of the smaller ones have gotten swallowed up in consolidation. So there's really only the big players left. I mean, it's these big company names that you would recognize, like Intel or AMD or IBM, that are the ones that are still churning out a lot of chips. Qualcomm, things like that that you would be really familiar with. So the idea that Google is stepping into this market and has the potential to dominate it if they throw enough weight at it is in some ways mesmerizing, and I'm sure terrifying for those who are going to be up against the giant that is Google, because Alphabet throwing their weight behind this could be revolutionary, honestly. So I think that's going to be my last segment for this show, but thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining me this week. Mitch and I will both be back next week, next Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. In the meantime, if you want to keep up with us, you can find us on Facebook. That's WRFL Tech Talks. I'll see you next week.